No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Fucking bring it.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's Carmen Morales here for a new episode of No Sir, I Don't Like It. Brian Vokey's here. Yeah, with Brian Vokey. He's here.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Carmen's podcast. I'm just always a guest.
He's a permanent guest.
Permanent guest. I'm doing a residency in the No Sir, I Don't Like It podcast.
That would actually be an interesting idea to have somebody be a resident host for a podcast, like for a bigger one, like if Rogan had somebody be his co-host for like 6 months or something.
For like charity, to like get rid of Lou Gehrig's disease or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Sure. Pitch it to him.
Yeah. No, I don't care. You do it.
Be tough to pitch to him. His strike zone's so small. He's a little man.
Episode 52, kids. It's been a year almost. It's been a year. Yeah, 52.
52 weeks in a year, 52 episodes. Weeks.
Yeah, it's been a year. Like people a year who've listened from day one, we love you. New people, we love you too. We appreciate anybody that listens, really, you know, because it feels like we're screaming into a void. So it's nice to know that some people are listening.
No, Sir, I Don't Like It Empire. We have banners and cake and balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And for me,
we threw a little party.
Piles of raw meat.
Yeah. Last podcast, Brian talked about how manly it is to see a dude like knife off a piece of apple and eat it, and then he just did that, but with a huge chunk of prosciutto. He just you manhandled that meat too. You just knifed off chunks of it. It wasn't thinly sliced. You just everything. But when he came in, I thought he was just holding a raw pork chop. I was like, what are you doing?
It was cured. It was dry cured.
He's on. I don't know if I like this new diet that you're on. It makes you really strange. You act real weird.
It's very similar.
I need to eat right now. I need to eat right now. Right now is when I need to eat. Like, okay, dude.
I go into like almost what feels like I think diabetic comas would feel like every 2 to 3 hours, and then I shove about 9 pounds of meat down my throat, and then it's back to earth, baby.
Okay, I feel less dumb. We can do the podcast now. I've been putting butter in my coffee. It's real good. I really like it.
It's ghee. It's different.
It's actually ghee. It's clarified butter.
It has a higher smoke point, so it burns. Does it burn as easy?
See how fucking weird you sound right now?
It's actually ghee. It's not like regular butter. It's fucking ghee.
I don't know, man. But
he looks good, guys. He looks good. Brian's lost a lot of weight. His eyes are popping even more so than before.
Yeah, the dark circles, because I've lost a little bit of puff around my eyes.
Now you can really see him.
The cave that is under my big bulging eyes is extra dark. I look extra dead. Which always attracts the wrong kind of girl.
Yep, zombie ladies.
I like him because he looks dead. Okay. I'm alive.
Yeah, what's weird is he's felt more alive now than he's ever have. So it's real deceiving.
Fucking nightmare, dude. Listen, if anybody out there is thinking about this keto diet, what the keto diet is it's no sugar, no carbs on an extreme level, meaning no natural sugar. So no fucking fruit.
No fruit. This guy can't eat tomatoes.
No, nope, too much sugar.
Yeah, as an Italian, bro, I don't even know if I could function.
It's not a permanent diet. It's a means to an end. You know, you do the diet 30, 60 days, trim the weight, then you can introduce fruit back into your diet. And then you just have to exercise.
Por favor, dame las frutas.
But the deal is, what I'm saying is, if you have psychological issues that are fairly strong, like I do, it sucks being this awake and aware. Like, people are like, I've never felt so focused in my life. Except like ketosis, like, really makes me aware and present. And if you like, first of all, I live in the worst city to be aware of.
Oh yeah, you can see how actually corrupt and dirty and gross it is.
Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare. Remember that old? It is. It's fucking like I'm living in my head. Like, it sucks. We were joking. It looks like my eyes are trying to fucking jump out of my head. and my hair is jumping out. Anything that's close to my brain,
his nose is right. Everything's just trying to escape being close to his brain. They're like, oh, I don't want to be next to that guy. He's crazy.
Yeah. So like being being aware and focused is really more for the well-adjusted, and not for
me. Well, those are usually the people that go on these fucking weird diets, though. Too, if you think about it, they're like, I want everything to be perfect, so I'm just gonna try this, and then it's gonna, you know, their eye starts twitching. It's weird.
I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't care. I don't know what. I just feel like.
I think maybe you do care a little bit.
No, I think it's just like I don't care, but I feel like. I think it's probably got to be some like midlife crisis shit or something.
Is that it?
I would imagine. I have a birthday.
You're not midlife, though.
I probably am.
You're like, well, with my track record, probably going to die in double this.
I think I'm smack dab in the middle right now. That would still be 64, 60. I'm turning 33 in like 10 days. So.
Wow.
So, yeah, 66. So yeah, come on.
We can still keep our tradition and have steaks on your birthday because you can eat steak.
Oh, I can eat steak.
You can eat steak with ghee on it.
Yeah. I'll have a steak. Don't cook it.
And just bring me a knife so I can whittle it into my face.
Just have the chef lay some hot breath on it for 1 second. A little chef breath, a little salt and pepper.
Perfect.
Boom. Maybe a little lemon juice because I might cheat.
You're crazy.
Yeah, though I said no sugar till Easter.
Is that you're giving up sugar for Lent?
No, I gave up booze for Lent, but I lined this whole.
Wait, so you're doing this diet and you're not drinking at all?
Well, I can't drink anything anyway that has sugar and carbs in it, even vodka.
So you can't drink at all?
No, I haven't drank in 17.
20 days?
Yeah, 20 days.
Wow.
It's insane. This is the longest I've ever gone since I started drinking.
And?
I hate it. I fucking hate it. I love drinking. There's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, man, I don't know. It, but basically, I got it.
Because you're not really like a drunk, like the one that would be like, you need to tend it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I just keep it cool.
Yeah.
But I have a steady
You're one of the worst kinds of drunks because they're the ones that people never say you have a problem.
Yeah, people don't even... Some people didn't even know I drank.
Really?
Which is really weird.
That is really weird.
I drink on stage all the time.
Yeah, but then again, I've also drank with you in an alley, so
yeah.
I think I've just also seen you drink more. I don't know.
I work in an alley next to a comedy theater, and I consistently see comedians I know as I'm loading dish pans into a van.
That's how you saw Adam Sandler that one time. Yeah.
Wedding singer.
Uh-huh.
Fuck, man. Listen.
We got some stuff we're mad about.
Yeah, we have some stuff to talk about. Was this our first podcast? No, we had Deborah. Because Carmen was just gone for like a month. And
this is our first one, just you and I back.
Oh, okay.
Since you've been gone.
I can breathe for the first time.
Yeah, while you're sleeping. It's really good.
It's true. I lost all that nose fat.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the deal here? Oh, yeah. Okay. So I saw the scary. I felt fear like I haven't felt in a long time. And let me paint the situation. I was in Desert Hot Springs, which is like closer than Joshua Tree to here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
it's a proper hot springs. Like they got a fucking little lake
all
that's
over
warm.
The city.
Oh no way!
Well, the town. It's called the Low Desert. You know, mm-hmm. Joshua Tree's up in the High Desert.
Yeah.
This is the Low Desert, and Desert Hot Springs has all these hotels that have like it almost looks like a mini golf course layout of little pools that the hot springs feed into, and so there's like 12 hot springs outside, and it was real cold, and we were in the hot springs, and then they also have saunas. That you can walk into that look out into the pool. And so I was with my friend Sam and we're in the hot tub and then we're like, let's go to the sauna. We get in the sauna. Now we're just the two of us in the sauna.
You guys got your bathing suits on? Or are you guys like those old men that are naked all the time?
No.
They just constantly have their nuts out.
I know. It's because you just don't care about anything.
Yeah.
At that point,
yeah, I dare you to fucking look at it. Like,
yeah. It's fucking gross. But but we're in the sauna and we're just talking and it's late. It's like 11 or 12 at night and we're sitting in the sauna and then a guy walks into the sauna fully clothed. I'm talking like shoes, dress pants, Hawaiian shirt, and leather jacket.
Did he happen to have an AR-15? Was he going to blow you? Is he an assassin?
He was dressed like he was like an extra in the cafe scene in Pulp Fiction when Samuel Jackson flips out.
Oh, yeah.
Like he was like he looked like that era 90s, but he was full. He looked like a sleazy salesman, fully dressed, walked into the sauna and sat down. Didn't say anything, didn't even look at us. And I was like, we're dead. He's going to murder us. I don't know why.
I'm telling that's like a real assassin vibe. Yeah.
It's the dark web thing that I've been talking about for a long
time. Somebody's finally listened.
Yeah. Somebody hired a hitman for $3,300 to kill me and Sam.
Two for one. You got a Groupon assassination.
There's a fully dressed man in the sauna. So I look at him and I go, hey, what are you doing? You know, are you trying to kill me kind of thing? Like, I'm feeling him out, trying to be smooth about it. So I'm like, what are you doing?
And why? It's
funny. He's got headphones on, and he's doodling on this notebook, so he can't hear me asking what he's doing.
Oh, no. That's even creepier.
And so I'm just like, can you hear me? Looks at him, I was like, are you going to kill me? And he doesn't say anything, and he gets up, and he walks out of the sauna. And I was like, he's toying with us. He's going to...
Holy shit.
It was so scary. And then he goes and he sits down and then in a chair outside by the hot spring pools. And then I see a lady who works there go, hey, John, blah, 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 blah. And it turns out he just worked there. And he was working outside and it was cold.
Oh, and he was trying to warm up. He just went in to warm up. Okay, okay.
That was the most fear I've felt in a long time, though. I was like, I'm dead. I've never seen a man in a leather jacket walk into a sauna.
Yeah, no, that's why I said I thought it was like Eastern Promises where like guy with a couple of hooks is going to come and you're going to fight now. And that's terrifying.
That's the closest I've felt to death since I had my face pressed against a curb with a sawed off shotgun.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it a friend of yours, a disagreement over something silly?
There was some disagreeing going on, but we weren't.
I would imagine so if it ends with a sawed off shotgun.
I disagreed with them pressing a shotgun against my face. And
that's fair.
They disagreed with me living in their neighborhood. but what we were talking about on the way over here was, because I was saying how scared I was with the man in the sauna, was that as we get older, you start developing new fears.
It's totally true. I think that's why old people are so terrified of everything, is I think like, I don't know if it's imminent death becomes more aware. I also just don't want to be in pain a lot anymore. Like, I don't...
Are you in pain a lot?
No, I don't. Like, I just mean in general. Like, I have a new fear of... I used to be, like, a real sure-footed person, like, would climb trees and shit like that. And, like, I just moved apartments and, like, I felt unsure carrying really heavy shit downstairs.
Like, you're just going to fall and break your neck.
I'm just going to fall and it's going to hurt and it's going to suck and I just don't want to feel... that pain anymore.
I remember, yeah, when I was younger and I was like moving amps and shit, like, and
you, I could bands, fucking, yeah, I would.
I never had to see the stair below me.
Yeah, I have to look now. Yeah, I look for the stairs now. As almost as if I think the stairs are gonna disappear somehow.
I carry a lot of stuff like an old Asian lady now, like on top of my head or on my shoulders.
Yeah, because I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I get, or I'll like really put my foot down slow. Mm-hmm. I actually just fell down some concrete stairs carrying two big milk crates full of liquor.
Yeah,
and it fucked my knee up. And
yeah,
now I got this permanent like calcium growth, this like hard lump on my knee that won't go away.
Oh, that sucks.
But I've always been clumsy. So
me too. I've fallen tons of times.
You said you were sure-footed.
I'm sure-footed, but I've still fallen, and it's never been like. Yeah, like I'm not, like I'm clumsy in the sense like I'll knock shit over or whatever like that. Like. Yeah. I never, like, heights never bothered me. None of those things. But, like, I jumped out of, you know, bungee jumped when I was, like, 11. Like, I was fucking, I was super cool. Like,
there's no way that's true.
It's totally true. I have footage of it. My dad.
11 years old.
My dad signed a release to let me bungee jump. Obviously, it turned into a fight between him and my mom because he didn't tell her about it. And she found out about it right when I was jumping.
Wow. Yeah. Where were you?
I was Sugar Mountain, Tennessee, maybe somewhere, or Lookout Mountain, Tennessee.
Dollywood?
No. Like Lookout Mountain, Tennessee is like by Ruby Falls.
Yeah, that's where Dollywood is. That's right there. That's the amusement park. So I thought.
Oh no, we didn't go to Dollywood. I thought that was in a different part of Tennessee.
No,
anyways, right there. But yeah, we were, it was just, my dad wanted me to see snow for the first time. So he just like took me out of school on a Thursday and was like, we're going north. Like, that's how you plan vacations. And my mom's like, I gotta fucking work. She's got school tomorrow. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What is he, a migratory bird?
Something. Yeah. Snow now. So we packed up and left and went north. And that's where we, like one of the places we stopped. And there was like a chick there who was like in her early 20s that just kept going to the edge and not want and getting scared and coming back and going to the edge and getting. And I was like, why is she so scared? I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, do you think you could just go up there and jump off? And I was like, yeah, without question. So then my dad goes and signs the release form. I think it was just out of spite because he was like, oh, yeah, little bitch. Like, I don't know.
He basically threw his daughter off a cliff.
It told me to swim.
Wow.
So he went and signed it. And I at the time I had like, this was like early or super early 90s. So I had like a real vibrantly colored, like puffy sure. jacket. And my mom's like walking around, like looking at shit. And then she's like, oh, my God, look at that. That little girl has the same jacket as Carmen. And then like by then I'm at the top of the thing, and then my mom starts freaking out, yelling at my dad and shit like that. And he's like, I already saw, she's gonna jump, everything's gonna be fine, they have a harness on her, it's not like she's free falling, trying to justify his goofy ass decision.
Of course they have a harness, you dummy. There's no way they're like, all right, sign a waiver, your daughter can kill herself.
Yeah.
Just as long as you sign this waiver.
No, but she didn't want me just jumping. Anyways, so I went up there and the guy's like, look, I know it's real scary up here. You can just take your time or whatever. And I was like, I'm fine. And I just walked off and jumped off. It was fine.
Wow.
I was super into the adrenaline type shit.
You enjoyed it?
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Did you scream?
Nope. No screaming.
Wow.
I scream now. I like the last time I jumped off something really high was probably like a year and a half ago. I was at a quarry.
Yeah.
And it was like a 12 or 15 foot. Uh-huh. Rock, I jumped off into the water and I screamed at that because then it was like, I should be in the water by now.
That's always a great feeling when you're a kid and you jump off of something, mm-hmm. and then you go like that, and mm-hmm. you're like, that's when you expect the ground to hit, and then you fall an extra half second.
Yeah,
that's when you hurt yourself.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's when your ankles aren't in the right place.
Exactly. When you're like, you start freaking out. So that's the whole thing, is like that extra. And 2 years ago it was way scarier, and I mean I bungee jumped off of something way higher.
I
up
I cannot believe an 11-year-olds are allowed to bungee jump.
I mean, you can if you sign the waiver. I was like just made, like there was like a weight minimum you had to do, and I just made the weight
school,
minimum.
Parents can get arrested for that.
Yeah,
like if you skip school enough, a truant officer can come to your parents' house and arrest you. But then at the very same time, if as long as that kid goes to school Monday through Friday, on Saturday, you can throw it off a cliff with a stretchy rope. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't
cool.
make any sense.
It doesn't. The things you're allowed to do with your kid are so funny.
I would love to have like a little shitty kid,
mm-hmm.
and just be like, all right, guess what? Tomorrow we're going to Lookout Mountain, Tennessee, and I'm throwing you off a cliff. Fuck you. I signed the waiver. And you just kick him in the lower back. Throw them right off.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like, they probably wouldn't let you if you were like forcing the kid, like if the kid's screaming the whole time and you're like, no, this is what you get for not taking out the trash. Like,
no, you just
I like, was super
you, no, you gotta play
it.
You don't, you, when you're talking to the guy, you're like, listen, I know my son, he, you know, he really,
he's been begging me to do this for months.
Yeah
you know, he's gonna be a little nervous, but he's fucking jumping.
Yeah. It's like when somebody's coming down from heroin, they're like, close this door, no matter what you hear, don't let me out. Just ignore him.
It's funny to describe a kid like a heroin addict. Listen, don't listen to the screams. It's going to be
happy on the other side. Yeah. That's what you get for not having 45 degree angles when you make your bed. Fucking throw you off a cliff. No, 45 degree angles when you make my bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. My new fear is driving. And riding in a car, doesn't it? Because a lot of people who are scared of drive, there's a lot of people I know who are scared of being in other people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like they hate sitting passenger. They got to drive
for
like
sure.
Everybody's dad.
Yeah.
No.
I'll drive. I'll drive. Yeah, no. I'll drive. Yeah.
And I like,
that's also a control thing. I don't even think that's always a fear thing. I think sometimes that's
I think the control thing. I think people get there's a certain kind of fear to not being in control. Like, that's, you just don't have that trust in
for sure.
Else. And so I have that. I have a panic now when I'm sitting passenger, but also when I'm driving myself. Like, I just see so many insane accidents around me, and I also see so many wild driving moves.
Yeah.
And I just don't think anybody has any respect for how dangerous driving is.
The fact that we're all in two-ton vehicles that
it's
are
just terrifying to me.
Flying through the air.
Terrifying. Mm-hmm. Every time I'm on the freeway, and my job description is driver.
Yeah.
So I do it a lot. And I'm getting more and more scared of driving, but no matter what, like, I hate the smell of the LA subway train more than I'm scared of dying.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather well, I might die if I do this, then I'll have to smell the train. Like, that's how bad the LA train smells. It's like somebody shits on your face right when you walk in, especially now that it's been raining. All the homeless people have been wet.
That's the whole thing is I hope people have not been going out in this rain, because with all of the pollution here, like, it's really gross rain. Like, you shouldn't be, you shouldn't go out within the first 10 or 15 minutes of rainfall, because all it does is trap all the shit in the air, and then it's in water form and sticks to you. So you have all this gross bacteria and fucking sediment and all this other shit that's on you.
But the skies are crystal clear the day after it rains.
Yeah.
So I think...
Well, yeah, that cleans it out.
Yeah, I think right now we're good because it's been raining so much.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm not shitting on homeless people. That's the last thing I would do. But goddamn, when they get wet, it is brutal. It is brutal.
Well, I mean, think about how much your shoes stink just from getting wet. Like, if you wear a pair of shoes and they get wet, they stink way more than your shoes ever normally do. Yeah. But it's all like every drop of sweat your foot has ever had in there just gets revitalized by this new rainwater.
Yeah.
And it's fucking gross. So if you have that kind of like
shitty drawers,
if you got shitty drawers, if it dries on there, a lot of times that smell go away. But if it's fucking wet, it's like, yeah,
it's so bad.
It's like, it's almost like sea monkeys. They get activated when you put them in water.
Yeah. Yeah. Sea monkey shit. It's disgusting though. But like, my mom used to hold on to the little handle above the door in a car. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. The holy shit bar?
Yeah, she'd hang on to that with both hands the entire time she was in a car. And I've totally turned into that. Like, I hang on and I'm just like, God damn, can you believe these people? And it's been the same my whole life. There's no difference in how they're driving.
It's still
but
bad.
But now I'm just like, what the hell is the matter with you people?
I know.
Which I think my brain's finally officially developed. And now
it's finally done cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations. It took 33
like,
years.
Yeah, I'm looking around, I'm like, everybody's so irresponsible. This is insane.
This is what the diet has provided for you to realize terrifying living is.
No, I think actually what happened was, I think I know the genesis of this diet and all this stuff was I have a little bit of some legal issues right now. And I was just, legal issues when you're in your 30s are just too much.
It's too much, yeah.
I had plenty of legal issues in my 20s.
Me
I was
too.
Just like, oh, whatever, fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, fuck you. Oh,
fuck.
Fuck the man. Fuck the establishment. Yeah. I remember that. I remember.
Show the judge my asshole.
I wasn't that bad. I was just like, fuck you. I'm never paying a ticket again. Yeah. I was one of those. And then I ended up in jail because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Next to a woman who stabbed her boyfriend 9 times and they were going to get back together when she got out.
I was in a jail cell that had a swastika carved in it and then dried cum on it.
Oh, somebody, he just came on it.
Somebody came on a fucking swastika in a jail cell.
I wonder if that was like a hate cum or if it was like, oh yeah, well, I love swastikas.
I like to think it's the guy, it's the same guy who carved it and came on it. Guy's an animal.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it was gnarly. I'm trying to think of, the new fears that happen when you grow. Oh, you know what I'm scared of?
What?
Okay, so I host an open mic at the Ice House, which is a very, very busy open mic. Like about 100 people show up and sign up every Wednesday.
You've it's packed. There. I go all the time.
And it's just massive. And a lot of psychos go. A lot of weirdos, a lot of mentally ill people. And I see their spit going into the microphone and I just see them talking into the microphone. And now I'm scared after hosting this open mic that I'm going to get herpes from one of them in the microphone. Cause the microphone grazes my lips and stuff every now and then. And I'm like,
Brian, you know that's not how you get herpes, right?
What if I had a cut on my lip?
You realize like how you would have to rub the microphone into the cut, like, and grind it. That's a ridiculous fear to have.
Well, I know a lot of guys.
And you could also just hold the microphone a safe way, like space away from your mouth.
But it's not always like that. It depends. Sometimes it just, you know, when you're up there, you're doing stuff. Sometimes it grazes against your lips. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to get whatever these fucking crazy psycho open micers have.
Yeah, you're going to catch mental illness? That's what you think is going to happen?
I'm terrified of it. I'm scared to talk into the mic after that because I don't know what the fuck they have. It's disgusting. I see them, like, I've switched mics before. I've gone to the back and brought a different mic in and unplugged it and put a new mic in after this.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's this fucking psycho fat, like, awful open micro does that, like, whatever. I'm not like being political, but his material is some of the most sexist shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And his name's Nick Country. Mm-hmm. And he was mimicking pussy farts and making, like, I don't know if the mic caught that because I'm respectful enough not to do it into the mic.
Right.
And he was just spitting into the mic. And I was like, luckily I was like, there's no way this guy has herpes. Nobody's kissed him for sure. He's like,
that's where all the rage comes from.
But yeah. And, but I know where I picked this up from. And I know this is an old rock and roll lie where it's like, no, baby, I got the herpes from the microphone. The clubs used the same.
Oh, stop.
You know,
it.
Like,
yeah.
That's an old rock and roll trick. Is you come home with herpes and you're like, yeah, dude, they use the same microphone every night.
That also defies like the sexually transmitted the fact that there's two different kinds of herpes. There's mouth herpes and there's genital herpes.
Well, if they have it on their mouth, then that makes sense.
That's everybody with a cold sore. Most people have that kind of herpes.
Well, I don't know, but that used to be an excuse for cheating.
Okay.
It's just like, yeah, those clubs and their filthy mics.
Yeah, they're so gross. Yeah. I've just rubbed the microphone on my cock so many times. I can't. It wasn't me, baby. It was my dick doing a tight five after these gross motherfuckers. It's such a ridiculous fear to have. But mine at least makes sense. I don't want to fall down the stairs, which is a very easy thing to happen. You've got no math. There's no math or science behind you getting herpes from a microphone or catching crazy. Are you just going to get misogynistic from following Nick Country?
I knew that the way I found out about people talking about getting herpes from a mic was from a lie. But now I just am scared of it.
I think that's what happens though. I think sometimes you get older, you just pick things from your past and you're like, that's real.
Yeah.
That feels real.
Yeah. I used to be so fearless and now I'm full
so
of fear.
So did I. I was fearless too.
It's yeah. And it's funny because people like a friend of mine was talking about how when I was doing roast battle, because roast battle, whatever, people have mixed feelings about it, but it's definitely a high pressure fucking environment.
Yeah, it's freebasing comedy. It's fun.
Yeah, you're walking into a wild environment. First of all, you know somebody's going to make fun of every flaw you have,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get trashed, and you have to let it roll off, and you have to come back.
Yeah,
and you have to just be supreme,
impenetrable.
Confidence. Yeah, and it's something I'm pretty good at, and I like. My friend was telling me, like, man, it looks like you don't give a fuck up there. Like, you don't give a shit about the roast battle. And I was like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's because I was worried about getting herpes from that mic the entire time. Like, my fears are completely different now. It's like, oh, what people think? Oh, the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Come on. I'm worried about dying. Yeah, I know. Mouth herpes.
I'm worried about getting herpes from this mic. I can give a shit what you, I'm ugly. I look like John Waters or whatever. I don't give a shit about that. What's on this mic?
Who used this before me? Does anybody have any Lysol? I want to spray the head of this mic.
I'm going to give this mic a rapid HIV test. Of course I don't care. I'm about to be 33 and I'm still doing open mics. I have no future, but I don't want to get a cold. I definitely don't want a cold.
See, that would make more sense. Colds, like I've taken like a Lysol or Clorox wipe to a microphone after somebody sick has used it. But that's just being smart. That's not, I'm going to get herpes because some fucking...
You're just saying herpes in a stupid voice, so make it sound stupider. But it's the same thing. You're still catching a sickness from somebody else. Oh, I'm going to get a cold from this.
It's different. A cold is, you're way more susceptible to get a cold than get herpes.
I don't know if that's true.
I do.
You don't know.
Yes, I do.
Neither of us know.
You're just saying that so you feel better about being terrified of microphones.
I admitted in the setup to this that I knew it was a trick to tell the lady or the guy, I guess. You know what's the funniest thing?
What?
I was on tour with this. I was roadieing for this band Witches, and the drummer, Clancy, listens to this podcast, and we were just talking on the phone. It's the funniest story because the guitar player, the singer of that band, she's like a fairly conservative gal, not like politically, just like a... She's not
a whore.
She's not wild.
She's a prude. She doesn't take a bunch of dicks at the same time.
Jesus like that. Christ.
I'm just trying to understand what you mean by conservative.
She's a nice gal.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, she's not wild. And we were just talking about this. I was roadieing for them, and she, on that tour, she kissed. That's it. Two different guys. And we were driving back to Georgia, and she goes, I kissed two different guys. Who am I, Gene Simmons?
And you guys are there like just dripping of other people's sweat on you, like, oh yeah, you really got wild there, lady. Yeah,
it's so funny to me. That's like one of my favorite tour stories.
What am I, Gene Simmons?
Yeah, meanwhile she's using those fucking disease mics. No, honey,
I think there is something. I think I've talked to you about this off air, but I think there is something that's nice about being prudish about certain things. Like for instance, like I never watched The Human Centipede or anything like that. I've never seen like
we
a lot of
about that last podcast.
Did we?
Yeah, that's where this whole Human Centipede bit did you've it been come doing from? Lately came from. You're talking to David Giovanni, you unsmooth motherfucker.
Is it? I don't remember.
Yes.
I'm
I know.
Glad you remember.
You don't want it to come into your coming. Come into my coming.
I also just don't want it in my head. Like when I'm, because I always think about like when you're on your deathbed, if your whole life flashed before your eyes, you know what I mean?
Human centipede popped in.
I don't want a human centipede. I'm about to die. That's what I remember. You know, it's the same reason why I'd rather like go experience things than watch things, you know? So it's like when I'm dying, I don't want to see episodes of shows I've watched. I'd like to see episodes of things I've done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I have, man, but it doesn't matter what I've seen because my nightmares are so vivid and I'm sleeping well again. Like last night in my dream.
So do you not sleep good then because you have the night terrors? Do they wake you up or you just remember really fucked up things when you wake up?
I remember really fucked up things when I wake up.
Okay, okay.
But like last.
That's way safer.
Every time I close my eyes now, I had this image from this dream last night. This is so fucking gross. I had some kind of like boil or something on my ass. And I sat down and it popped.
Oh my God.
And then, but what came out was like when you make a preschool volcano.
Like, oh, it was like,
it was
oh,
like
the
foaming
fucking...
like orange juice and vinegar.
Wow.
And it just kept foaming and foaming and foaming out of my ass.
On the cheek. Oh wow.
Yeah, and I can't every time I close my eyes I just see my ass
foaming.
My foaming ass. I don't want to see that on my
deathbed. Old puss ass Voki. Old puss ass Voki over here.
How bullshit would that be if I was dying and I'm on my deathbed and then I just see my foaming ass? I'm like, that didn't even fucking happen, brain. Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. If we don't get to pick what we see, that I don't want to see really fucked up things before I die. I'd rather just see the stuff I did, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine what I'll see.
Good. I mean, good and bad, you know, if you see all of it, right? I guess you don't really get to pick the slideshow. That's why I'd like to
It'd
curate
be cool
the
to
slideshow.
See every blowjob ever right in a row.
Yeah.
It's the blowjob montage.
Then you just, you'd come with a cummy, you'd die with a cummy dick.
Like, wow, he was so, like, next level zen. Like, you should have seen him on his way out.
He was just so
he was
smiling.
He was so at peace. Like, it was like some Dalai Lama shit. It really was.
Meanwhile, inside, it's just...
Every blowjob ever. Oh, man. Although, I better have a long-term illness. You know what I'm saying?
Get out of here.
Oh, shit. I had a funny thing happen to me the other day.
What?
I was hanging out with a friend, a black friend.
Ooh.
And
look who's diverse.
We were in a cafe, and the cafe was playing Elvis. And I started singing along, and I was like, man, I've been getting into Elvis lately. And my black friend said to me, man, Elvis stole everything he got from us. And I was like, what do you mean us? Like, how dare you take credit? Wait, was that you who's singing Tutti Frutti in like 1951? Did you have a pompadour? Were you banging on keyboards?
And not only that, but Little Richard stole his shit too.
Yeah, yeah, from fucking Escurita. Which it's not Spanish at all, it just sounds Spanish, Escurita. But still, it's like, yeah, sure, maybe Elvis stole everything he got from some black people, but not you, motherfucker. You're 25 years old. You weren't even alive when Elvis was alive.
And you've never made any kind of music.
I just started trashing him because I was like, man, I hear that a lot about us and with black people, and I was like, right, man, that must be such a beautiful way to live, because you could be some loser like living a horrible life, working as city
watching the All-Star game. Yeah,
yeah. You see LeBron hanging from your rim and you're like, man, we just dunked that. That's man, nice.
We dunked that so hard.
Yeah. Just every great thing you see a black person do, you're like, man, I also had something to do with that. That's fantastic.
That's one for me too.
Yeah, like fucking would Get Out, because tonight's the Oscars. Get Out will probably sweep the Oscars.
Yeah,
like, man, we won so many Oscars last night.
We did.
Oh, did we? Really?
did we?
I thought you were holding a mag light in a freezing parking lot, making sure nobody broke into a parking garage, you fucking failure. What the hell's wrong with you? You've done nothing. What a beautiful way to live. See, that's the problem with being from a non-oppressed group of people that, you know, I don't take credit.
I don't know, though, because, like, there's been plenty of Latin people who've been oppressed, and I've never thought about that. Like, I've never been like, man, fucking Andy Garcia, man, he's, man, he really... We're really crushing it in the acting game. You know what I mean? I don't ever think about it like that.
Andy Garcia. Man, what an awful pull.
It was the first thing I thought of.
All I know him from is Godfather 3. It's just like the worst movie
ever.
He
was in the Ocean's 11 movies and 12s.
These Ocean's 11 movies.
11s, the 12s, the 13s.
It's like when Donald Trump was getting sworn in, I wasn't like, man, we got it back. We got the White House back.
But I feel like there were a lot of white guys that did feel that
way. They did feel that way, but not me. And I was jealous. I'm jealous of them and my black friend who was taking credit for what Elvis got.
Elvis was like, he blatantly stole some shit. Like, I'm pretty sure there's some like, seaside tracks that were like, these water fountains aren't as nice or something like that.
No way,
like,
dude. No,
where he did blatantly steal all some right, shit.
Here's the thing, then. This motherfucker who was talking to me about this black, is from fucking white ass. He's a rich kid. Elvis grew up around way more black people than this black kid who's complaining about Elvis. And that's where he learned. People used to take him in, and like, he learned from growing up around it. It's like when The Clash did a reggae song.
You're saying he's like the original wigger? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, he is, but no, that's not what I was saying at all. But yes, but that's more backs up what you're saying. That he was just a poser. And like, I don't think he was just a poser.
I don't know if he's necessarily a poser. He did get like black people did end up making money because he sold black music to white people through him.
Yeah, no, he definitely benefited from racism and white supremacy, for sure. But not arguing that. But what I'm saying
is culturally appropriated.
But I don't know if it's really cultural appropriation if that's who you're hanging out with and you grew up. It's just what he absorbed growing up. It's not like he's from some all white area. And he heard records and saw TV and decided to do impressions from secondhand information.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these are people he was friends with growing up.
Right.
You know, so it's different. That's why I don't like a lot of the cultural appropriation arguments fucking piss me off. But I was going to say, like, The Clash saying that, like, when the police come for you, what is it? How are you going to come with your hand upon the trigger? Like, with your hands in the air or on the trigger of a gun. What's that song? Fuck. The Guns of Brixton.
Mm-hmm.
They did that reggae song, and like, people made fun of The Clash for having a reggae influence, but fucking the bass player grew up in Jamaican projects. Like, he's a white guy, but that was the music he heard growing right. up. And so is that really appropriation?
I've had this discussion because this is also something like the cultural appropriation thing always fascinates me. So I always talk about it with black people all the time because I'm always like, where is the line? That's where I always try to understand. Because it's like if you have a white kid who grew up in a black neighborhood, if that becomes their culture, it's not like they're not going to be influenced by the environment of which they are raised in. You know,
I know.
And I think the difference is when you're making money off of it. That's the difference.
But still, like, so you don't get, if you grew up around a certain culture and that's how you are, you don't get to make money off of your upbringing because
I think it's more of like, oh, I just went to Singapore with my gal pals and now I think I'm going to open a Singapore restaurant. I think I'm just going to, I just liked it. I just want to share that with other people. Huh?
What do they eat? What would a Singapore restaurant be?
I don't know. Fuck, there's probably some noodles, fish, some spicy noodles. Shit. Yeah.
But I don't even care about cultural appropriation because it's like that's how the whole world has gotten anywhere.
Well, especially when
by
this,
blending.
This country specifically, I mean, it was called a melting pot. You know, also, it never really was completely other than just white people learning about other people's cultures and then
I don't think that's right.
Taking it in. Just, I mean, what other cultures do that though?
What do you mean? That's how everything has ever happened. I mean, you think about the going all the way back to like fucking.
I mean, I like it. There's some Latin Asian fusion restaurants I totally fuck with. You know, I totally like having some kimchi on my tacos. You know, there's some of this
revision of history that's just insane to me because like what's the other side of that argument with cultural appropriation leads to full segregation. It's like. Okay, so it's just the whites with the white. Wasn't that what we were fighting against in the 50s and 60s?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but I think that's there's a difference between like rights.
But now
everybody wants the same
it's
rights.
It's different now because the number one movie in the country is Black Panther, and like Kendrick Lamar is probably the highest selling artist in the country. So like, it's not like only white people are making money off this stuff. So can we absorb cultures and it coexist and take from each other now that everybody's making money? Like, is
right. But it's not everybody.
Well, it can never be everybody.
What do you mean? Why not?
Because you got to have an extra thing. Like Elvis had something.
Talent you're talking about?
He
got to have talent.
Look, he had a dance. It wasn't like Elvis wasn't a complete mimic of black culture. He definitely was.
I thought that was the whole thing. He learned how to dance from black people and then he showed white people, look at how I dance. And then they were like, oh my God, don't let my white daughter see his sinful hips.
But all that knee shaking stuff, it's definitely, I mean, there was definitely a uniqueness to Elvis because there was Jerry Lee Lewis didn't pop. And Jerry Lee Lewis was around the exact same time. He had a couple hits, but he didn't have that certain thing that Bieber, mm-hmm. Elvis, Frank Sinatra thing. So like not everybody, you gotta
so
have.
So you think like the it factor kind of trumps the cultural appropriation thing? Like for instance, Justin Timberlake doing like, I mean, he's totally making money off of, I think that's the other thing too.
Justin Timberlake is beloved by black women.
He's gotten plenty of heat. He's gotten plenty of heat.
It's newer, but he was he made his money off of black women. I mean, he was beloved. Like when Sexy Back, like back then when that first solo album came out, get out of here. That was like everybody went nuts. I was living in Atlanta when that album came out.
Yeah.
He was, people went nuts for
him. He went straight Elvis. I get it.
but the thing is, I'm not saying the it factor trumps appropriation. What I'm saying is you got, like, not everybody can make money as an innovator.
But you could also give money back. For instance, Drake, who is a light-skinned black dude from Canada, he just dropped a single.
Where he gave $1 million out.
Where he gave almost $1 million. To the people of Miami. Like, that's also a good look. You know what I'm saying?
It's a fucking tax write-off.
It for sure is a tax write-off. It doesn't demean the fact that he did it. He could have not done that. He could have still spent the $1 million making a fucking
Everybody's
video.
Everybody's just wasting energy trying to figure out what's wrong with why people don't deserve their success. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's all it is.
Yeah?
Yes. It's just everybody's wrong when they get huge.
But then it's like, you know, because it still bums me out about like a lot of the because then it's gentrification is cool. It's the same kind of idea. You're changing the culture of a place to make white people feel comfortable. Like, that's fucked up.
It's not white people, though. It's not.
How is it not white people? They're the ones putting salad bars in fucking in the middle of fucking Queens.
See, this is
Washington Heights.
I'm so sick of this fucking whitewashing of it's class. If you walk down York Boulevard, you will see a very diverse crowd of fucking assholes.
Like, for sure,
fucking assholes.
No, for sure, and I've seen it. I know the Asian kids, the black kids with the glasses that are skateboarding. I see all that shit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who are owning the businesses. I lived in a neighborhood that got gentrified. It was all Puerto Rican. It was Portland. Businesses were Puerto Rican owned. All that shit. When I lived in Humboldt Park in Chicago, and then all these kids started. These white kids started buying in cheap. What the fuck's it called? Not Lincoln Park. What is it?
What are you supposed to do if you can only afford cheap houses, though?
What do you mean?
Like, these guys can't afford the people who have enough money.
They can stay in the suburbs. They can live in.
Why?
What do you mean? And do what?
So you have to stay where you were born. That's the only respectful thing to do. People move around.
There's a difference between you living in a place. And then you buying property and like trying to create a business.
Do you know how many
to attract more people like yourself into that neighborhood?
They're trying to attract money, not people. They're not even thinking about the people attached to the money. It's not a cultural revolution. It's capitalism. They're just trying to attract money.
How is there not race attached to that, though?
Because they don't care.
If you open a fucking salad bar in the middle of the Puerto Ricanist part of town, you're trying to attract white people.
No, you're not.
Bullshit.
No, wait, listen. Hold on. You're opening what you want, and what you want is your experience. And so maybe they have what would be quote-unquote white interests. But they don't care who comes into that restaurant. It's not a cultural revolution. It's not an agenda other than money. Though you think anybody who owns a business, their agenda is to attract a certain race? No, it's just to attract a maybe they say a demographic, but they don't care whose hand is handing them the money. Mm-hmm. It's not colonialism like in the traditional sense. It's not
right.
Like that. And that's always aggravated me when I lived in Oakland and people talking about decolonize Oakland. It's like, go fuck yourself. If you want to decolonize Oakland, you got to move your not white ass out too, unless you're a fucking Miwok Indian. Kiss my ass. I just don't think that people really understand it's money that makes everything move. And if you want to start a business and you have a little bit more money than other people in this neighborhood, and that's the only neighborhood you can afford a business in, you're gonna go there because it's the only thing you can do. And now,
or you could just save up money and buy it in the neighborhood that you're already comfortable in.
What are you talking about, though? Like, there's a huge difference between buying, you can put a down payment on a $100,000 building,
mm-hmm.
and maybe save up $10,000. But if you're trying to open something in a fancier neighborhood, it's
it doesn't have to be fancier. That's what I'm saying. There's plenty of degrees. It's just because it's
so
cheaper.
So you just want to keep these neighborhoods. Like, another thing is, the other side of that is, it's like, it's almost like, I hate how white people who are complaining about gentrification romanticize neighborhoods before gentrification, because it's like, oh, really? When all these teenagers are getting fucking shot here, that was a great time. Like, do you know how many Uber drivers I've had?
That's the part that's fucked up, is the cops don't give a fuck about those neighborhoods until the white kids move in.
I mean, the cops give more. You see more cops in poor neighborhoods than you do in rich neighborhoods, because that's where they fucking arrest everybody.
But it's more about protecting citizens as opposed to oppressing them.
But the deal is, do you know how many Uber drivers I've had that bring me to whatever neighborhood I live in Oakland or in East LA,
mm-hmm.
that have been born and raised in the neighborhood they're bringing me to, and how much they talk about how much they love the changes in the neighborhood? I think so many people make these huge leaps of assumption over how people in the neighborhood feel about these changes without ever asking them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the people who shout the loudest get heard the most. So the people who are frustrated with it for whatever reason, whether it be, I'm not saying rent doesn't go up, and I'm not saying there isn't negative sides to business coming into neighborhoods, but I think a lot of people are on the quote unquote right, or like right side, the left side, they still are speaking on behalf of other people.
Right.
And it, I just don't
see, but I also seen, I saw it happen in a fucked up way where it's not just individuals and like people trying to start businesses, but it's like really rich people are buying poor neighborhoods and then like just tearing down entire neighborhoods, quadrupling the property taxes for that part of the town. So everybody there had to move out, because I used to live in a ghetto. And they quadrupled the property taxes of the place that I was renting.
You're feeding into another point I was going
to
make.
It's fine. It's fine. We'll go into it. It's great. I can't. It's a good conversation to have. And they put in these high-end condos, like a few streets down. And then everybody in that neighborhood who, like, it wasn't, it, sure, there was plenty of crime there. But there was also just a bunch of families that were just struggling, you know? Right. And those are the people, that end up getting fucked, is because they can't really afford to be pushed out to the suburbs like everybody's trying to make that happen, you know, because they're just quadrupling the property taxes. Mm-hmm. And then because they're trying to upscale this part of town to because of the potential money that they could make.
I have two responses to that. One, I always blame gentrification. Like, people always say when the white people come, you know, but it's so much more above that. What, like, a punk house starting in a neighborhood can't change a neighborhood. So what happens is this stuff starts at city planning level.
For
this
sure.
This is way more corporate and way more institutionalized.
Yeah, it's money. It's white people with money, I guess, is but what it I should even, say.
I mean, there's plenty of black business owners in Oakland who fucking sold their neighborhoods out, too. And, like, nothing will ever get anywhere if we're just, like, white is evil and everything else is good. Like, if because then you're never really looking at the root of problems.
Because white is grandfathered in to be rich, dude.
I know, but it's just it sounds ignorant and it doesn't address, because it's like, then it's the idea that if you're not white and you're doing this stuff, you're a good gentrifier or something. But what I was going to say anyway, I'm getting off the track, is that like these juiceries and fucking all this corny shit, mm-hmm. the acai bowl places, mm-hmm. that people blame,
poke,
the avocado toast places,
yeah.
the stuff they blame on, they don't come in first. What happens is the big corporations come in and make these choices, and then the other people are just following where the money is.
Yeah.
And so it's not those businesses' fault. They're just fucking schlubby one business owner, small business people.
Yeah, I just want to own my own little thing. Yeah.
And the second thing I was going to say about that is that the gentrification fucks two populations over the most, I think. I think it's the first few people who get bought out because of property taxes or whatever in the initial wave of that stuff, and they just get what the house was worth as it was, and then the people who are trying to stay in that neighborhood as the prices increase. Now, but here's the thing: most people in these neighborhoods, in Silver Lake, Echo Park, Highland Park, Los Feliz, they're making out like bandits because they bought these houses when their grandparents bought them for like $20,000, and now they're selling them for $2 million. Do you know
but
how
this
much
is
new
also
money?
This is also different. I mean, Los Angeles, but in general,
it happens in Oakland, it happens in Baltimore. I mean, it happens,
but the real
in other
estate
places.
Laws here are the fucking,
but I mean, it's
different.
Happening in other cities. You
they're
don't,
outliers.
This is other than LA. It's happening in New York. It's happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
People are making out like bandits, and then people who have been struggling their whole lives have $1 million to play with because they sold their house. Now, they don't live in the neighborhood they grew up in or whatever. They have to move out, but there's no other way that with our class system that you would ever fucking break up into that upper middle class income without people in this neighborhood do benefit from things. Now, I know this sounds like I'm just fucking arguing in favor of gentrification, but I'm not. I have a whole criticism of it too, but I like considering the whole fucking side of it because there's just such a black and white argument about this is good, this is bad, and it's just like, well, everything is more complicated than it is than
for
it
sure.
seems than the average discussion is about it.
Yeah.
I get so fucking frustrated, and I'm happy to have this conversation because I bite my tongue so much because all I want to do is raise other sides of it too. There are people in this neighborhood do benefit from all this stuff. Their kids aren't getting killed as much. The schools get better when so the kids who live here, there's kids get better schools, and they could have the property values go through the roof. And also, they have fucking grocery stores. That's another thing. It's sad. It's racism. It's fucking economic racism, environmental racism. But when the neighborhood I lived in, Oakland, had no grocery store until fucking
yeah, you had to eat all this bullshit that they had at fucking bodegas and shit. Yeah.
Like cup of noodles and mm-hmm. Cheetos and shit. Or you had to make a long bus trip to get to Emeryville to fucking get some groceries. So then when the neighborhood started getting a little fancier, they got to pack and save. You know, they got a little bit of they got grocery stores and stuff. So there are things that when the neighborhoods get a little bit more of a spotlight on them that are good. It's not all bad. It's not just fucking crying abuelitas on their knees as a fucking white person kicks them in the face and moves into their house.
Right.
It's not like that. And I the reason what made me consider this was how many Uber drivers have told me, "Hey fool, I love this new neighborhood, man. I love the way this neighborhood is now." Like I've had that 20 times.
Right.
I've had that. You know, he's like, "When I grew up here, man, I used to have to run from bullets," as you know, like all this shit.
For sure.
And the woman who cuts my hair across the street, they've run this hairstyle salon because I used to be like insane about that stuff.
They're also, it's also, but you're just.
But she's been running that since 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how much the rent has gone up in this neighborhood, and she was complaining about that. But she also, like she said, you can't put a price on the safety I feel. That's something she said to me when she was cutting my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you argue against that? Some nice old lady cutting my hair, saying you can't put a price on the safety I feel. I was like, wow, that's a different angle. And that's what started my gears moving
right
towards thinking about the other sides of gentrification. I don't know. That was a long fucking rant I just went on.
It is. I mean, I guess if it wasn't, if it, a lot
that
of it
probably
wasn't
super boring.
I felt a lot of it wasn't based in like if there wasn't a presence of systemic racism and like white supremacy and like all of the fucking real estate laws in general. I guess it wouldn't be as big of a deal if people just shifted around every once in a while in general.
But real estate is also one of the many ways that a lot of people of color get out of their situation.
For sure.
On a corporate level, of course, because at any corporate level, it's going to be white. But I do think that.
But I mean, like, you know what I'm talking about. I know, and I know you're like playing devil's advocate, but you've seen, I mean, you've lived in, like, you and I have both lived in black neighborhoods.
Sure.
You know?
Most of my adult life.
Exactly. And so it's like, and you can see the difference about how nobody fucking gives a fuck about those neighborhoods.
That's what I'm saying. And what makes them start to care about those neighborhoods is when the money comes in. And I think it has to do more with money than white.
How?
It just happened because of years of systemic racism. The hand with the money is usually white, but capitalism does not care what color the hand is. It's like, and as we, when we chip away, like as we progress as a society and start addressing this racism, we're going to find out everybody's evil. Everybody's bad.
Well, it's all corrupts. I've always thought
as
that.
As soon as we find equality, we're going to find out that everybody stinks. Mm-hmm. And that's something I look forward to. I mean,
you can see that with a lot of this, like a lot of the female stuff that's happening right now with where it's like, oh, you're just turning into the people who, when you just become the oppressed, become the oppressors and that whole. And if you would have seen Black Panther, they actually address that where it's like, it's mimicking the thing that was done to you.
Don't say that, I'm protesting Black Panther.
You're not. I'm just busting your balls.
I just don't go to the movies. I can't sit through a movie.
Well, especially comic book movies. You've talked about that several times.
I hate comic book movies.
But it's just something that was addressed in the film where it's like, that's not going to be the correct change is if you just mimic what was done to you. Revenge isn't the best option.
Exactly. You know, I'm just so sick of these white people telling me white is bad and everything else is good. That's the thing. Most of my anger about these race dialogues is just from how other white people, and it's just like, I think
which to me is also racist. You should just be shutting the fuck up and handing the microphone to the people of color.
there was a Flappers open mic recently. Open mic, which is a huge part of this story.
Mm-hmm.
Open mic, open meeting for anybody can go up. Anybody, mm-hmm. everybody has a chance. Where they took a spot away from a white open micer, and the host said, "This now is not the time to give a spot to a white male at an open mic."
What?
And guess what color the people were who made that decision?
Hmm.
White. white people making decisions about other white people to be good.
What's the only thing they have control over? They feel like they have control over anymore. It's like, oh, we can't control brown people anymore. I guess I should just boss my own kind around.
I don't think it's like that. It's like how is it not that? What
guy?
I think it is I have no fucking talent. I have no charisma. I have no charm. Everybody I know is white.
Well, now
I don't
you're
know
being
how to,
specific.
No. I think this is a lot of it. It's like I don't know how to make friends with people who aren't like me because I'm so ridiculously ingrained in whiteness that I can't make a friend outside of my race. The only way I can do that is by putting down other races. I've been putting down other people of my race.
Right.
Like, if I shit on white people, maybe black people will like me. And it's like, how about you just be a fucking person?
Which I've seen people go up like that in all black rooms, and they always eat a dick because black people can tell. They can tell when you're pandering. Because
they're people. It's the second word is people. Yeah. People can tell. People can fucking tell. Everybody's so goddamn corny. It's funny how many times this comedy scene where people have called me black. Like at the roast battle, everybody was like, oh man, you're like secret black. And it's like, no, I just fucking am a person.
Who's hung out with a bunch of different kinds of people.
Yeah, yeah. No, I listen
and
to country music.
You didn't curate your friends. That's the other difference too. You weren't token. It wasn't like, I need a token black friend so I can learn about black people. I need a token Hispanic friend so I can, I need an Asian. They seem fun. Like, you're not picking a restaurant to eat at. As far as who you hang out with,
there's nothing black. I would love to ride a horse to comedy shows. That's how white I am. I am a fucking hopeless.
You have been not shutting up about how you wish you could wear all the fucking.
The way I want to dress. I want to wear a cowboy hat.
Why?
I like them. I want to wear a cowboy hat. I want to wear
polo on stage or just in general.
A gentleman doesn't wear his cowboy hat inside.
Oh well.
I want to wear.
I didn't know that.
I want to wear spurs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to clink everywhere I walk.
I used to date a dude, but he wasn't a real cowboy. He was a poser.
I want either. I would be a complete poser. But I got
these fucking dope ass spurs. They were all black, and they had this one little chrome ring around the edge of it. And they had such a gray little sound when they walked. Oh, ooh, man, so
I
good.
I love it. I feel
I can't make the sound of the spurs without feeling like I'm sounding racist. Because they
chink.
Yeah, like,
they say chink, 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 chink,
yeah.
Chink. Yeah, I'll say it for you.
Thank you.
I like a low level, I feel like a low key, trans person, where it's like on the inside.
So do I, buddy. So do I. That's just because I have a lot of testosterone.
What? I want to come out as a cowboy. And guys, from now on, I identify as a cowboy. And you have to respect that.
I mean, you can do that. People are doing that as fucking mermaids.
I can't, but I have too much self-awareness, and I can't.
To not be annoying and obnoxious?
I can't. Yeah, so, but when I turn 40, 10-gallon hat all day.
That's funny.
As soon as I turn 40, I'm getting one. The kind you can get shot through and it doesn't hit your head.
Oh, the real big ones? Yeah, like an Arby sign? Yeah. You have just a huge Arby sign on your head?
Yeah, there's an arrow through it.
Before we go, we got a couple of emails we got to get to. One of them... I'm pretty sure this person.
We're going to talk about RuPaul.
I know we didn't even get a chance. We're already over an hour.
Listen, can I just say this one thing real first before the email? I'll say is leave RuPaul alone.
Yeah.
Read
women trying to yell at RuPaul for saying that drag queens are drag queens. Yeah. Being mad about that is ignorant
just
as
fuck.
Do
your own research, look it up, and you'll see how unprofessional journalism is. And leave RuPaul alone.
It's totally not cool that RuPaul said it's about guys. And
she fought her ass off to get where she's at. She's from the 80s. You 22-year-old entitled bitch. How dare you tell
seriously
a person who fought to be a drag queen in Atlanta, a black drag queen in Atlanta in the 80s.
When it was, when you could have died just for being black and for being gay in Atlanta.
Keep your mouth shut. Okay,
leave her out of
the letters.
An email from Jay Joggerst. It says, just a little positive reinforcement for Carmen. Ha, for me. Brian, you vacuous worm. Stand up straight, knuckle down, and get going. Don't make me put that smoky bear hat. I feel like this person was on drugs when they wrote this, because a lot of this doesn't make sense. Whatever floats your boat, I aims to please. Still loving the podcast, a great opportunity to let my brain off the leash and laugh. Keep putting out regular content on a regular basis and see if you can get into more of the podcast distributors. I've been doing Google just to keep on the good side of...
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, you should have read this. The emergent
I don't think
internet
it's your fault.
Artificial intelligence organism. All hail the EIAIO. Good luck making a bit out of this. I know my limitations Jesus and being funny is not my skill. Colonel John.
Colonel wow. John, vacuous worm doesn't make any sense.
I have no idea. I feel like you were on drugs when you wrote this, and there's probably parts of it that you didn't write that are in your head that made all of this make sense, and that's the parts that are missing.
I don't think drunk. I think drunk. That sounds like a drunk email.
Drunk email. You're hammered. We appreciate you writing, but you know, maybe write all your thoughts instead of just parts of them. We also have another one from... Mr. Maloney.
Oh, Mr. Maloney, the no sir stepson.
Yep.
Brian, thank you so much for confirming that yourself and I ain't family. I'd hate for your listeners to think I share genes with a man so visibly hideous he once publicly denied having a face to spare his fragile ego from a joke at the expense of his appearance. I don't know what that's referring to, but I'm sure it's true.
Oh, remember when you were like, he had wrote something that made you nostalgic and miss your family, and you made it a huge point to be like, you're not my family. It just made me miss my family.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'd also like to add...
Classic Brian.
I really don't. I'd also like to add that I love this new thing you're doing when you begin an anecdote by declaring that Carmen will likely deny what you're about to say, and then continue to rattle on about a bunch of nonsense which she so angrily denies because it in fact never happened.
This is the Joe Bartnick thing.
Then you simply sweep her objections under the rug by labeling them the illusion of Carmen. That's the kind of gaslighting shenanigans I'm all about. It's a pattern that makes for great listening, so by all means, keep it up. It's true. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm trying to get her mad. But it's not.
Why?
But it's not gaslighting when it's for entertainment purposes. See, when it's psychotic is when you're acting like the world's watching, but you're really just torturing a friend. Mm-hmm. But this is being recorded and put out to the public, so there's a reason for
it. Plus, I also know what's happening. Exactly. I'm not an idiot, guys.
I don't do it when the mics are off.
Well.
Yeah, I do. The show has been great lately, but I wish you guys would talk more about soccer. And then he wrote in his contradiction of the month, episode 49, One Fist at a Time. Brian, there is no food I don't like at all. Carmen, there's no way that's true. Brian, go ahead, try. 31 minutes later, Brian, I can't stand raisins. Raisins suck. They've ruined every cookie they've ever been in. Lori Kilmartin, when you think it's a chocolate chip cookie and it's a raisin cookie, Brian, that's worse than war.
You didn't say that.
You know what?
You do contradict yourself on a regular basis. It does make for good listening, because then people can go, what the fuck is with this guy? And then they feel like they win. And that's what we try to provide.
I can't wait to hear how wrong I was about gentrification. That's going to be fun. I'll murder all of you. All right. Well, I'm going to go get an SCI bowl and then kick a low income person of color in the forehead.
And then, I'm going to go buy a sandwich from a black lady that owns a sandwich shop around the corner from where I live now. Thanks for listening. if you guys, tell us what you think about cultural appropriation.
Don't or do that. I don't want
gentrification
to
or whatever. Or email us about something that you think is stupid. Or
fuck yourself.
Or Jay. Or Mr. J. Joggerst, if you wanted to make fun of us for us not knowing what the fuck you're talking about, clarify. Email us no sir I don't like a podcast at gmail.com. Oh, that's no sir I don't like a podcast at gmail.com, at no sir pod for all the social medias. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you.
Sorry, so serious.
Sorry, we were serious this week. Bye.
No sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir. sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? Are you stupid or what?
No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What are you?